Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1... I'm out of time.
Now, Podcast One brings you Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
All right, welcome to another episode of Spike's Car Radio. We're out here in Malibu on the porch. It's a cold day, Zuckerman. It's, what, 62?
I am dying. It's so cold.
Really?
62
is really not
me.
So bad. I mean, the rest of the country is truly suffering. This is not awful. It's sunny. It's clear. We've left an empty seat open for you. We have a really excellent show today. We've got Phil Rosenthal coming in a minute. If you don't know who Phil is, he's from Everybody Loves Raymond. He was the showrunner of the show. He's got a new Netflix show called, what are they calling this new show? Somebody Feed Phil, where he travels the world and finds delicious food. We got a lot of car news to discuss ahead of that, though, Zuckerman. There's a lot of stuff sitting right here. First and foremost, I'm in this three-wheeled contraption known as the Vanderhall.
It's not the Vanderpump.
It's like the Morgan three-wheeler in kind of aesthetic, but it drives a little like the Polaris, and you can get one for the price of a Prius, which is about $29,000.
I don't think it's probably about 1/29th as safe as a Prius.
No, it's extremely safe. It's
extremely safe.
You know me. I like motorcycles. I kind of started as a motorcycle guy, and I love the Morgan three-wheeler. The difference with this vehicle is it's a little more stable than that Morgan three-wheeler because it's driven by the two front wheels. Let me run down some of the stats on this thing so you guys know what I'm talking about. Costs about as much as a Prius. It's a 1.4-liter turbo. Charge 16 valve 200 horsepower vehicle that I'm guessing weighs about 1,300 to 1,400 pounds
at most.
It's not so insanely fast that you worry about it. I think this is Vanderhall's entry level vehicle. I think they make some crazier stuff, and I think there's even an electric car on the way. But it really delivers kind of that purest driving experience. Do you ever get in an open cockpit race car and get on the track and you feel everything?
For the first time today.
What were you driving?
I got into Mr. Jerry's RS61.
So you know what I'm saying.
Only as of today.
Now add 60 or 70 miles an hour to that and no helmet. You don't need to wear a helmet for this thing.
I look at it, and on one level, I think it's cool as fuck. On the other hand, I look at that and I say, oh, my God, you better have your kidney donating. You better have your donor card updated.
Could I be a client of yours on the drive home?
You could be a client of mine, or you could be giving life to somebody else.
It is so insane and different than anything else on the road that people notice you. I'm not at all worried when I'm out on the road in it. I really, really like it. Guess what? Heated seats in it.
Really?
It has heat and heated seats, so I'm perfectly comfortable. It's got a little Bluetooth connection so I can listen to my music. You can't hear it.
And I wish the audience would know you look such a dandy. You've got on a beautiful cashmere sweater, a cashmere scarf. You have on some great down vest. You really look the part of a sporting gentleman.
And I had my cop mirror sunglasses on. I was trying to stay warm, Zuckerman, and I'll tell you, and I was going to ask you this, because you're an accomplished scarf wearer. That was my one big problem. At about 70 or 80 miles an hour, yes, my scarf was all over the place, hit me in the eye, and I didn't know what to
what
do.
What you have to do with something like this is you have to do the double loop,
right,
and then you have to put the tails underneath your jacket in the back so they don't come and blind you.
Okay. Yes. Now I understand. Well, I had, for the price of a Prius, I thought this is a pretty neat little deal.
Where is this company located?
I believe they're in Utah. I believe they're Mormon. This is a Mormon vehicle of some kind.
Oh, wow. Flying plates. Wow. This is the flying plate vehicle.
Yeah. And if you want to check it out, you'll see. I think I'll throw up a picture on my Instagram feed. You can check it out. But look them up. Pretty interesting stuff. Now, by the way, we've got bigger car news here. I'm looking down three spots from that car, past Seinfeld's 964 RSR that he's driven here. And I see a 911R, Zuckerman.
Wow. Wow.
Are you ready to make this announcement to our audience?
I want everyone. Well, here's the thing. And if I don't sound all that excited, it's because I got so car high earlier. I feel between driving this RS61 and driving the R.
You're burying the lead.
Am I burying the lead?
You bought a 911R. You have to say that to everyone. Okay. They don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. As if I don't. Yeah, I'm pretty open about what I have. I feel, for some reason, a little shy saying it. We had the good fortune, me and Robert Ungen, my business partner, who you know, we had the good fortune to find a 911R with miles under 100 miles, a brand new R, the guy who had never drove it. And it came down, as you know, the price has gotten insanely high. Then,
and you got in where? Somewhere in the mid-threes?
Yes, we did. Right.
And but this was a long-standing Seinfeld, Ferriston, Zuckerman argument where we were holding out.
Right.
And Jerry's saying it's a better car and you got to get one. We were like, no, we're going to get Touring package GT3s and we're going to make them look like ours, which I'm doing, by the way.
Right.
And then you suddenly get an R.
This is what happened. So this R popped up and my partner Robert said, let's go for it. And I have talked Robert into doing a lot of things, and he's gone along with it. And I went along with this, and this was absolutely a brilliant decision. He pulled the trigger on this, and what we did was, as you know, I had a...
let's just get to what does it drive like? What do you think? You've got me on pins and needles here.
It's
how does it drive?
Seinfeld said...
Is it as good as Jerry said?
It's everything he said. It's everything he said.
So what you're saying is Jerry Seinfeld knows cars?
I'm saying he's right, and I hate to say
really?
Anybody else is right.
He said it's lighter back in a few episodes ago. He said it's lighter.
He said
what
that
is it specifically? Is it... And I'm guessing you're going to let me drive it soon. But what surprised you about it? Because, look, you and I have driven a lot of stuff.
We
were talking right before you got in, and we went, are you going to lower your expectations so you enjoy this?
And guess what? I didn't think I would enjoy it. I thought Jerry was overstating the case in part to make me miserable because I didn't have one. And the truth is, it's so hard to believe that Porsche can take the same car and make it different. Right? It's different but the same. Same but different. And this is the closest car to a 73 RS that I've ever been in the sense that...
And what did you notice first about it?
The steering?
About the steering?
The steering is so incredibly light and responsive the way... Remember your first drive in a 73 RS?
Yes.
Oh, my God. The steering is so light.
Wow.
So the steering and the suspension are so perfect.
Wow.
The engine is so responsive, and the manual shift.
Wow.
And
does it feel weird to be shifting a manual shift car in a brand new Porsche?
Yeah,
I drove the brand new GT3 with a manual shift, and it felt odd for just a second. It felt a little weird.
This doesn't feel odd. This feels
a little retro.
This feels like the perfect formula that that Porsche had to be told by the American clientele that this car needed to be a manual. That, yeah, in theory on the ring, you're going to be slower with this, but for everyday enjoyment and driving pleasure, this is the package that you need to have.
Wow.
And I don't want to get in my RS now.
Really?
My 991.1 RS? Irrelevant now.
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
Well, this is just your first day. This is your first day.
Okay, I told you I got high. So
great. Well, I'm happy for you. I'm happy you got a car that you love, and that it's hard when you have such high expectations, mostly driven by our comedy friend Jerry Seinfeld, to actually enjoy a car. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To really get in something, right. Go, oh, this is special, and I love it.
Right. Because
be
how does something live up to being
it's
perfect?
It's hard. Plus, we're getting old. We've driven a lot of stuff.
Right.
You know. Anyway, well, that's good. Should we bring Phil over?
I think
do we have any
should.
Other car stuff to talk about? We covered the Vanderhall. Seinfeld's in his... What is he driving?
He's driving a 964 Carrera RSR, which sounded so ferocious on the road, was so inappropriate for road travel. If the EPA or DOT is somewhere out there, they should come and get the car and crush it. There you go.
Let's bring on Phil Rosenthal. Phil Rosenthal, come on over. He's on the porch here. Sit down.
Now
here he is. Talk into the microphone. Keep the microphone close.
Keep
Phil,
it right here. Hello. thanks for having
is
me.
Is one of the Malibu regulars. He's been a friend of the Malibu Kitchen for a long time, right, Bill? Really long time.
One of my favorites.
If you don't know who Phil is, Phil was the showrunner and co-creator of Everybody Loves Raymond, right? Fair to say. He left that show with $1 billion and retired out to Malibu.
Wow. Actually, maybe, then, hold on a second. Somebody owes me.
Decided to do a real kind of Larry David move, which was kind of indulge his personal desires and become a full human and really express himself perfectly and whole. And that involved cooking and comedy. And he created a show on PBS. What was it? Everybody Feeds Phil? What was that show?
The show on Netflix now is Somebody Feed Phil.
No. What was the PBS show?
The PBS show was called I'll Have What Phil's Having.
I'll Have What Phil's Having. All right. And it instantly became a hit show. And what happened to that show? Where did that show go? And how did that lead into this new Netflix show?
Netflix picked it up. And said, now that it's a Netflix show, we got to rebrand it
right
as a Netflix original.
But PBS didn't want it? What? Or did PBS go out of business? Did
PBS
that get closed down?
Have money.
They don't have any money? They
You'll
got
have
defunded?
To talk to them.
So there was an issue with them, but it was a very high-profile show for them.
We won the James Beard Award.
Yeah, no,
for
I know.
Best food and travel show. I was so crazy proud of that because it's not my field. It was just amazing to I'm in the room with, like, food idols. Like great chefs and great mm-hmm. people. It was amazing.
So you were able to bring the show back to Netflix, a bigger and better platform. It's
I have
got a worldwide audience now.
That's the difference. And 4K, they shoot in 4K. So everything looks beautiful except for one thing.
And do they? How many episodes are going to be up on Netflix? And they're up right now, right?
Six are on right now.
This has to be a dream job.
Yes, of course. It's like if you got a show where you get to talk about cars. It's kind of like that.
Well, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
And I am doing that right now.
I know. I see your thing over there. That thing you should...
Yeah, the Vanderhall.
You should just drive that around like an open field. You can't put that on the road, that thing.
You know, that's a couple of kids in the car around the neighborhood
yes.
to entertain them. One or two drives out here, and then I have to give it back.
But
because
very slow.
But I might, yeah, I could get hurt in the thing.
I might be the least qualified guest you've ever had on this.
Oh, no.
I'm not a car person.
We have entertainment people on the show all the time.
But
show
do they
is
know
a,
anything about cars?
We don't. We've already talked about cars already.
Oh,
and
oh,
will you come on now? You're just a guest. You can.
Oh,
we're
oh, that's
gonna,
nice.
We're going to talk entertainment.
But I can talk about a car a little bit.
We have comedians on. We have frequently, I would say 50% of the guests aren't
yeah.
car people at all.
Ah.
The car people right now listening are like, yeah, we don't like that. Well, too bad. We're a car and comedy show, and you're clearly in that category. So I want to hear about your new show
okay.
and where you went
yes.
this season. Where did you go?
So Bangkok, right? Saigon, Tel Aviv, Lisbon, Mexico City, and New Orleans.
Wow. Do they still call Saigon Saigon, or is it Ho Chi Minh?
They call it both.
They call it both,
I
which is the politically correct
they
city
said
name.
Both are valid. Both are. I think if you're the North and you won, you're calling it Ho Chi Minh.
Oh, my God. And so, you know, I was in Ho Chi Minh or Saigon, and I remember the street food being delicious.
Amazing. The pho, right, which is that noodle soup. That's
Boy,
so delicious,
remember.
And the banh mi, which is that sandwich on a baguette.
Mm. Well, what?
Right?
How do you prepare for a trip like that? How do you find these places to showcase in your show?
I do research. Everybody can do research. We all have the thing in our pocket that lets us research. Great. Like, imagine, we grew up without this. And now the whole world is in your pocket. It's like having the World Book Plus that's updated every 2 seconds, right?
The Britannica.
Yes. It's true, though, when you think about it. Yes. I know I sound like Grandpa, but it is a miracle, isn't it?
420 years ago.
Yes.
So you go.
So we do that, and then I have a production company in New York, the same production company as
that
Anthony
mic
Bourdain.
Really close.
Anthony Bourdain's production company.
Wow.
So they have, he's been doing the show, I don't know, 16, 17 years. So they have contacts all over the world, and they can tell me what's new, what's great.
So you walk into a place
yeah.
in Saigon.
Yeah.
You have them cook for you.
Yeah, that's
and
part of it.
And do you eat everything?
Pretty much. I don't. I feel like I'm the normal guy.
Right.
Regular guy. I won't say normal. Regular guy that goes in. I don't want to eat bugs especially. But once in a while, there's an ant or two that gets in there.
So
that,
what?
I mean, unintentionally.
What they want
you to eat the ant.
And what differentiates your show from an Anthony Bourdain? What are you doing differently?
Here was my pitch. This was my pitch to sell the show. I'm exactly like Anthony Bourdain if he was afraid of everything.
Afraid of everything.
That's
food,
me.
Food, the lifestyle.
I sit and watch Anthony Bourdain and I go, he's amazing. I'm never doing that.
Right.
And like, I thought there were more like me sitting out there also on the couch loving him and not ever going to go to Borneo and have a tattoo pounded into his chest with nails from tribesmen.
Oh
he
boy.
Does that.
Zuckerman, what could he get from that? What diseases could he get from Borneo?
At this point, Anthony
guys?
Anthony probably has a very strong immune system because I think he likes needles. He liked in historically.
Wait, did you say you did that or
no?
No,
I watched him and I go here. He is unbelievable. I'm never doing ever.
He's
I
not
can't
Jewish.
Even watch it.
That's the thing. He's just not.
This
Jewish.
Is a good show, actually. Three Jews sitting watching Anthony Bourdain and going, "What could he get from that? What disease you think he can get from this?"
I hate to disappoint you. I'm Irish. But I'll pretend to be
You're
Jewish.
You're honorary.
I'm honorary.
He's 20.
I have
quarter.
Some Jewish heritage. My grandfather, Morris Fernstein. We can't argue that.
Morris.
The family just took a detour at that point.
So I married an Irish girl, and my kids are Irish-Jewish now.
There you go.
It's possible.
Excellent.
To live in peace.
So where was your favorite stop on this run? Is it one big 12-episode season, or is it 2 6-episode seasons?
I don't know what they're planning. Except that they are calling these first 6 part 1. So I'm not an idiot. I think there's more.
And how do you pick the locations you're going to go to? Are these places you've always wanted to go?
Some of it, yes, but there's a point to the show. It's not just a guy eating. I'm trying to get you to travel. I'm trying to get you, through food and hopefully humor, to want to go and see these other people and see these other places. I think the world would be a little nicer if we did that. I think it's the most mind-expanding thing we can do in life is travel. And so I'm starting with, for people like 2/3 of Americans who don't have a passport, I thought I would start with the most enticing places, Earth's greatest hits. That's the idea. So when we're starting with places that are accessible, that you'll have a bed, you know, there will be things that you don't have to worry about. What am I going to get if I eat that? Right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's like me when I travel. I want to be a little comfortable. I want to not be grossed out by certain things or worry about whether they're dirty or clean.
Is there any place you wouldn't go?
Yeah.
Besides Borneo.
Watch Bourdain. Most of those places.
You just don't want to go near it.
I'll tell you what wins for me.
Okay.
Italy.
Yeah.
You go. You've been.
Yes.
You've been.
Yes.
Italy wins. Everywhere you look is gorgeous.
Of course.
Every bite of food, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And the people are hugging and kissing you. So what's not to like?
Yeah.
It's nice. Right?
Zuckerman, you agree? You've been to a lot of places and eaten a lot of delicious stuff.
I agree. When it comes down to it, I would say the Mediterranean. Italy's the best. Spain's pretty damn good,
pretty
too.
Pretty damn good.
Greece is nice. I have not been to Israel, which I'm hearing as the greatest food. But, yes, the Mediterranean has charm. It has comfort. It's similar enough that you're comfortable.
That's different
enough.
Because we all come from Europe.
That's right.
You know, it's or a lot of us in America. It's like a shared heritage that when the people say the old country. That's what,
right. Wow.
It's pretty great.
What do you think of this place right here?
This is, by the way,
I know you did an episode on the PBS show right?
I did.
Yeah. And after that, people started coming to the Malibu Kitchen and asking for you. I would be standing here and they'd say, "Where's Phil?
Oh.
Where's the thing he had?"
He put a little picture up.
He did.
The turkey and cranberry sandwich.
Oh, that's a great sandwich.
It's pretty great, right?
Yeah.
Because he roasts a fresh turkey every day, and now he's up to like 6 or 7 turkeys a day.
Are you from the East Coast originally?
Yeah, New York. You?
Well, yes. And you remember when we were kids, if you went in the deli, they didn't get their food from Boar's Head. They made their turkeys
and their
roast beefs,
right.
And all of that were made at night.
There's something about a turkey sandwich, if it's done well, you know it immediately, and if it's done poorly, you know immediately. It's dry and terrible.
Do you cook at home, Phil?
I'm not a great cook.
You're just an eater.
I inherited that from my mother.
This is such an interesting thing.
Well, look.
So you're not a chef who's out in the world. You're just a guy who likes to
loves
eat.
Loves it. I'm the best audience they'll ever have because I appreciate it so much. But look, I meet a lot of chefs, great chefs. They can't write a sitcom.
That's right.
So we all contributed
I'm
our
I'm not
way.
Implying you're not qualified. I'm just trying to understand how you know your point of view in, and I like it. How do you not get – one of the problems I've always thought with these cooking shows and doing a show like this is you can get fat pretty quickly.
So I'm all fat.
Right?
This guy is not
Guy
fat.
Fieri, he's in shape.
No, this guy's a toothpick.
So how are you – I don't think he's how are you reconciling both of those things?
You ever see the dog food commercials?
What?
You ever see a dog food commercial?
Yeah.
What, where they run around after the truck wagon?
How do they
lick themselves?
Why does the dog look so excited when he's eating? Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
They starved the dog before the thing.
Oh.
That's me.
Oh,
I'm
that's
the dog.
What you do.
Well, you have to. You want to be excited when you eat. You want to, because I've been in the situation when doing little trials of this show.
Yes.
Where they overfed, like, oh, we're booking you in 27 restaurants in 7 days. They're all going to be white tablecloth. They're going to be 4 hours. I'm like, what are you doing to me? You want to, when the food comes, you want to be like, oh, yeah, not oh, no.
He's managed to figure out how to make himself suffer doing this show.
Jewish.
Well, all shooting is suffering.
Yes.
All TV production is suffering to a certain degree.
I've got to solve myself
this is
to
the
do
least.
The show
well, I don't go insane, but I work out every day. You have to do something.
Right.
Your metabolism slows down as you get older. And quite frankly, there's a crew of 16 guys looking at me as I'm eating the most delicious food in the world. You got to give them half.
Yes.
You got to. It's only good if you can share it anyway. So I do that. So you see me eating on the show. I don't finish everything. I really don't.
There you go.
I don't want people to get the wrong idea.
That's very nice.
I'm empathy. Very nice. I'm very, very, very
generous
nice.
Generous and empathetic.
You have to be.
The show is called Somebody Feed Phil with Phil Rosenthal. It's on Netflix right now. We'll be back in a minute with more Spike's Car Radio. Let's talk about your bucket list for a minute. That's right, your bucket list. Guess what? No big news. We're all going to die. So before you die, there are some things you should do. And how about a trip to one of the greatest spectacles in all of motorsports, the Indy 500? I'd like to see that. And I'm not talking about any trip to the Indy 500. I'm talking about the ultimate Indy 500 fan experience. That's exactly what AMSOIL, maker of the best synthetic motor oils on the planet, is giving away this spring. One grand prize winner will win the trip of a lifetime to the Indy 500 to watch some of the fastest cars and best drivers battle to have their names etched alongside the greats like Foyt, Andretti, Unser, and Castroneves. But that's not all. Listen to what else awaits the grand prize winner. Pit access, dinner with an Indy 500 legend, VIP track access, suite access to watch the race, $1,000 for incidental and travel-related expenses, you know, beer, round-trip airfare for two, to and from Indianapolis, hotel accommodations for two for 5 nights at a hotel near the Speedway, ground transportation to and from the airport hotel and Speedway, chances to meet the drivers. You will do it all. You will be taken care of. Just like they do when making high-performance synthetic motor oils, AMSOIL went the extra mile with this sweepstakes. If that's not enough, 10 first-place winners will receive one free digital download code for Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game. To enter the AMSOIL Ultimate Indy 500 Fan Experience, text INDY to 41487. That's INDY to 41487. Or visit AMSOIL.com/INDY.
Hey, it's Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana.
And you are listening to Riggle's Pit.
Yeah, and a ham horn, and we have a new podcast available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Every Thursday, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about the things that really excite us, like life, comedy, sports, a lot of sports.
Ourselves.
A lot of Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you join us.
You're listening to Spike's Car Radio.
Here's what I want to know. We're back here with Phil Rosenthal.
Hello!
Who's got his new big Netflix show. We're on the porch here in Malibu. It's a
beautiful
day. It's a little chilly, but it's
not... A little chilly, but gorgeous.
Not as cold as the rest of the country.
Isn't it amazing how you can go a few minutes out from where you live and be in another world? You come here, you go in, it's like a Vermont country store in there. The best of New York-style deli is in there from a New Yorker. And you come out on this porch... And you're in friggin' Malibu.
Yeah, we're overlooking a parking lot of luxury cars.
It's surprising.
We love it.
The whole of
it's
the country
like a vista
is not
the
living
grand...
here with us.
I guess well, this is what the whole premise of the podcast was to export a little bit of that Malibu vibe.
Why do people live anywhere else? I've always wondered that. Once you get it,
they don't. You know, this is the problem with LA. It's suddenly become very successful. People finally realize, because we haven't had an earthquake, that it's always kind of beautiful here, and it's nice, and a lot of smart people, and
I can't take the cold anymore.
What's
as I get older, when I go back to New York, I was there last week. I can't take it.
Yes, it's awful.
It hurts to go outside. It shouldn't hurt to go outside.
All right, Phil. This, I have to ask you this.
Please, anything.
All right.
Yes.
This, I lived in New York for a while and in Boston for a while.
Yes.
When I moved out to LA, and I'm still searching. I think I've lived here for 20 years.
Yeah.
Where are the good restaurants here in Los Angeles?
Are you kidding me?
No.
Are you kidding me? Really?
No. I was so excited you were coming on.
Yes.
I want to ask you this question. It's a very simple question. We have a lot of Los Angeles listeners.
Yeah.
Where do we eat here?
See, the LA listeners are listening to you ask that, and they're going to think you're crazy.
No,
they're not.
Because
we've become the best restaurant city in America in the last 20 years.
Come on.
Ask
Bill. In New York.
The best in the last 20 years.
Yeah. Thank you.
Listen.
And I'm the number one.
He's up there. Is there a better sandwich in L.A.?
No.
Is there a sandwich?
We've sung the praises of the Malibu
Kitchen many
times.
But wait, compared to New York even. This is as good a sandwich as the best place.
Let me rephrase it. Let me say it a little
yes.
differently. In New York, you can walk down the block and bump into a great restaurant. And I would say 80 or 90% of the food you eat there is great. So where am I going here in L.A.?
What is your favorite food?
I love Italian food.
Okay, so mozza.
Yes.
You've been?
Okay. I've been.
You got three choices right on that corner.
So maybe
the
pizzeria,
the osteria for fancier, and Kisbaca, which is a Tuscan grill where you get these amazing steaks and chops and pork, tomahawk pork chop. Oh, my God.
All right, Chinese. Where's Chinese?
Okay, so you have the entire San Gabriel Valley, which is visit every province of China just going to
how
a separate...
about where we in Central
Valley?
Wait,
I want to hear San Gabriel Valley.
Where is the San Gabriel Valley? 10 minutes east of downtown.
That's Gardenia?
10 minutes east of downtown.
There's no Gardenia.
I've been down there for Chinese food.
Alhambra.
And Alhambra? And what are the names of the places?
Rosemead.
Uh-huh.
Right? You like dim sum? You go to Sea Harbor in Rosemead and have the dim sum of your life.
Okay.
Really?
It's spectacularly good. It's worth the drive. Listen, you like to drive anyway. Go on a...
Yeah, but not in East L.A.
Why not?
Well, I got to pack some heat to be safe
no,
in East
come
LA.
On. No. Don't spread a thing. You're driving. You're on the 10 anyway to go downtown.
Okay. I'm going to try it.
Just go 10 minutes past downtown,
but now,
and
look,
you're at a Chinese food mecca.
You're already in a place that I'm never going to do.
Chengdu.
I got to get home for the babysitter around 10:15. So
go during the day.
I think I'm already on to some of the good restaurants.
Okay.
So, all right. So confirm
keep going
some other
with
Bestia.
Beautiful downtown.
Fantastic.
Yes.
All right. Best pizza aside from mozza. What is the best pizza in LA?
Oh, there's a new one that just opened in Brentwood. Since you're...
That's where I live.
It's Pizzana, I think it's called.
What?
Delicious.
Where is that?
And it's on the main drag there. It's on
right on San Vicente?
Yeah.
Pizzana?
See, I think that's called
this
Pizzana.
Is what I'm looking for. Now you're talking.
I'll meet you there.
A mile and a half from my house.
I want to meet you there so I can see your face having that pizza. You're going to go like, I don't need New York anymore.
Wow.
Yes.
We're a very big pizza household.
Yes.
We've got the Patriots playoff game tomorrow.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Even though the show will have airing after that.
Yes, yes.
And I'm going to order from Pizzana.
Pizzana. I don't know if they do takeout. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to go. This is great. All right. So what other foods do we need to know, Zuckerman?
We need to know, okay.
Sushi.
Sushi.
You're in the sushi capital of the United States, if not the world. There are people that come from Tokyo to have the sushi here because it's a little cheaper.
Really?
But I could name 20 restaurants right now
that
are
three.
Phenomenal. My favorite at the moment is Sushi Zo.
Where's that?
Which in Cheviot Hills. Okay, far from you. There's also another one downtown, Sushi Zo. Jinpachi in West Hollywood, right? Park on Sunset.
Right.
There's so many. And those are like the high-end ones. And then you have low-end ones, like Sushi One in Koreatown, and these that you could eat very cheaply and get really good sushi. And probably the best deal in America is at Sugarfish.
Oh, Sugarfish.
right? That, true, I mean, excellent. Very high quality for very little money.
Do you just eat out every night?
I do.
And he's a toothpick. I really don't understand this.
You got to pick your spots.
Well, he's not a glutton like you, Zuckerman. You and I go to Ciccone's on Fridays, and we have to really talk to each other so that we don't abuse huge amounts of food.
Yes, I actually
really can't keep it under control. I don't know what being full and eating have to do with each other.
But you know, when we sit down and we go, should we get the pizzata? And we all look at each other like, are we all going down this road on a Friday instead of maybe Sunday?
That can happen. But you got to pick your spots where you do that. And then be good the next day.
Okay, here's another one. Yeah. Fish. Where's the good fish here in Santa Monica?
Okay, so one of the best.
Brentwood in L.A.
Oh, you want to know on the west side?
No, it doesn't matter. It can be anywhere.
So the one of the top seafood restaurants in the country right now is Providence, right? It's always rated like number one by Jonathan Gold in Los Angeles. And then place is called Connie and Ted's. That's in West Hollywood.
I've eaten there. That
best oysters you'll ever have.
Yes.
Really fresh, simple fish, grilled fish. It's just awesome.
Wow.
I'm getting starving right now. This is killing me.
Well, this is what happens with the food shows.
It's a good thing we're at a restaurant. It's a good thing we're here.
Oh, my God. How's Ray Romano? Do you talk to him?
He called me today. This is an absolutely true story. I'm driving here. And he goes, Phil, got to ask you. I said, my wife and daughter's in the car. Oh, he goes, I don't know if I should... All right, I'm going to ask you. When you, the last colonoscopy you got, they said I should do a virtual one. Can you tell me about, and sure enough, that's what we talked about. And I swear to God, I just tweeted this out. This is my daughter's selfie. Here, what does it say? Read it.
When Ray Romano calls to talk colonoscopy when your wife and daughter are in the car, and it's a picture of them aghast, hands over mouth, trying not to laugh so they can't be heard. But why is he calling you? Why would he call you for that information?
I look like a guy who would know.
What does having mean nothing goes in?
I told him, you know, with the virtual, they put a balloon in there. Oh. And he goes, well, who hasn't had a balloon up there? He goes,
a balloony finger.
But what he's really worried about is, do they put you out for that? And
right,
no, they don't. So they insert a little balloon and they blow it up a little just to get a clear photograph. They're taking it like an X-ray, so it's you don't have to go under.
You know,
everyone, let's do a public service. Everyone over 50 should have the colonoscopy.
Has he not had one before?
He's never had one.
I can't believe we're talking about Ray Romano's colonoscopy. But he's older than I am. He's like in he's up there,
He just turned 60.
And he hasn't had one.
Nope.
What, does he want to die?
No, he's afraid of doctors.
He's afraid of doctors.
He's afraid of going under. You know, if you get a regular one, they put you out. And so he's not having it. So now you can do the virtual, and he's going to do it.
Oh, God.
He'll probably talk to 10 more people before he pulls that trigger.
Well, you know, we've all heard these horror stories about not getting it done. It's not such a big deal, right? You go in, you blink your eyes, you're fine.
You're assuming logic and normal thinking.
You know what you did that was really interesting is the impression of him was so immediate and so quick, and that's from writing his voice for a long time, right?
Or just being in the room with him.
But it happened to me when I was writing for Letterman. When I left that show, I talked like Dave. You know, people go, why are you talking like Dave? And it's because I was spending 9 hours a day writing his voice.
And he's influential.
Seinfeld, the same thing. 3 years of that where you're like, hey, well, what do you think, George? And now that was the last, like, writing gig I did. And now that voice is stuck in my head.
I got to say, since we're sitting here, I think I ran into you guys last summer on this porch. And I was just saying, isn't it beautiful here? He goes, you know what it is? You're up. You're elevated from the parking lot. He goes, I'm a big fan of Two Steps Up. Right. I love that.
Did you take that show to Russia and do a Russian version of it?
I did. Well, the Russians asked me to adapt the show for them and make it Everybody Loves Kostya.
That's a popular name there?
I guess
a Raymanish name?
I don't know.
Now, how does Russia get in touch with you? How does that
through
come
Sony.
To-
They hit the it never
the they go into the emails and just plant an email in there.
It was right after the hack. That's the reason for the hack, actually. We need Phil Rosenthal's email address.
The form, you'll love this. The sitcom form never existed in Russia until The Nanny was translated.
Gosh, that's insane.
Okay? And that was by my Sony. And so that
keep
became
this
a
up,
hit.
Keep this up.
It became a hit.
Right.
And so They wanted other shows. So that Married with Children worked very well. Golden Girls did not work well. You know why? There is no nice sunny place for old ladies to retire. They couldn't identify with that. Right? But Raymond, they thought they would try. So they Sony asked me if I would like to go over there. They actually go over there and just observe how they work with them because it's crazy.
But how, Phil, how did they get you to do that? Is there any money
in this? I'll tell you how.
Why would you say yes to that?
Because of this. They wanted me to go over there, observe how they do it. Just observe. And then how they adapt the show. Then come back and write a comedy feature, a fictional feature film about a guy who has his show translated in Russia. And I'm like, wait a minute. If what you're telling me about those people really exists, why not make a documentary?
Right.
And the head of Sony said, oh, I love that idea. Would you be the guy? I said, yeah, to make the documentary. Yeah. He goes, make your documentary. Now I'm having a chance to make a documentary, which is a transition into filmmaking that I would love to do. But also he says, be the guy. Make it your show. So you can't turn that down. You have to do it. Wow. That's why I did it.
That's interesting.
Yes.
And did this show do well over there?
I don't want to spoil the ending of the movie because that's on Netflix now, too. It's called Exporting Raymond.
Oh, okay.
I promise you will laugh at this movie because it's about an idiot, me, who goes to a land where he thinks he's an expert, and the land, they don't care. They do things their way.
No. Yeah, they do. And I've heard stories like, you know, I know some guys who worked on The Simpsons who started a television consulting business over there.
Yes.
Went over, built it up, and then, you know, Igor walked in one day and said, this is my business now.
Yes.
And they said, you must leave the country.
That kind
and
of thing.
And that was the end of their profitable business.
That's so pleasurable to me.
Because, it's a true story.
But how about this? Because it's a new form, the sitcom, they had people from the science field were like heads of comedy. I said, why? New technology. Sitcom.
And do they have the same types of audiences there? Do they use a laugh track? How did it work?
I suggested, since Raymond was filmed in front of a live audience here and it seemed to work, that you would have a live audience, even though they don't do that. And I told them the case for it, and they said, swear to God, but we would have to get chairs.
No way.
Yes.
Huh.
Very Russian mentality.
How much time did you spend over there?
A couple months.
That must have been hard.
Yeah.
Away from your family in Russia?
I 1 month, and then they shut down. I went back for 10 months. I came home, and then all of a sudden they said, now we're ready. And, of course, it was much colder. And when I went back for another
one. Is there a chance that there's a PP tape of you somewhere in Russia?
There is.
did you feel under surveillance?
By the way, I'm older now, and so there's likely a PP tape
of
me peeing because that's all I do.
It's always coming out. That's incredible. Wow, what a story. That is really
I have
wild.
A good story, but you know what? That movie, making that movie, led directly to me having this. The
there
food and travel show.
Right.
Because they said to me, they saw the Exporting Raymond. They said, we like the idea of you going places. I said, so does my wife.
There you go.
And they said, is there anything you'd like to do? Yes, I have this fantasy of I go.
So is this it? Do you think this is
the end of my life?
Yeah. Do you think you're going to just do stuff like this? Because it's kind of hard when you've done what you've done.
Yeah.
I was a writer, too, and a showrunner.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you do something in front of the camera. You do something that you love in front of the camera.
Yes.
It's hard to go back to do anything else.
You're right.
You kind of
get stuck. This combines everything I love, not just in show business, because what I really do love is the writing, the performing, the directing, the editing, the producing even. I love all of that. I love everything about the business except the business. But then it
Zuckerman,
combines...
where are you going?
You see, I was just going to say goodbye to him for 1 second.
Where's he going?
Let me check. Hold on.
Oh, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Sit down, please.
Sit down.
He's so worried about Seinfeld. You know, if he had sat down at this table, he could say goodbye on his own.
That's true,
but we're almost done. Just tell him we're almost done.
We're almost done, Jay. Okay, perfect.
There you go. There he goes. He's fine. He's gonna.
I like screaming at people.
It's amazing how Jerry doesn't leave me alone. He just keeps, wherever I am.
He was kind of a surprise guest today. He wanted to come out for 9/11R Day for Zuckerman's big 9/11R purchase and drive.
Oh, that's
and
your
then
car.
He's,
the black one with the red stripe.
It's beautiful that you just bought that.
Wait till you listen to this.
Yeah,
thing.
Listen to this.
That's you?
Him.
He's getting in a 964 RSR. Wow, listen to that thing.
It's a little obnoxious, I have to say.
It is a race car.
No, it's a race car.
I like it.
That cannot be legal.
It's a little loud.
Well, let's look at it as it goes. So he's in a
white 964
RSR.
You think if they pulled
RSR
him over, they would take it and crush it?
Hold on 1 second. And it's got, does it have straight pipes on it, do you think?
Yes, those are straight pipes.
So that's a racing exhaust.
That's
on the
a
back
racing
of it.
Exhaust. It's a 3.8 RSR. It's
and
a beast.
What was the drive like out here? Was it highly insane?
It was okay. Being behind him and next to him was wonderful. The thing sounded. It really sounded like an old four cam engine.
Right, right.
All right. Well, popping and backfiring and roaring. It was really terrific.
But wow. As an old Jew, I don't want that in my neighborhood. Turn that down.
It's like anything else. Bill, it's yours. It's terrific.
Yes.
If it's somebody else's, yes. It's not.
You wake me up with that.
Right.
Pretend to like it, Phil.
All right.
You're talking on car radio.
I'm sorry. I love it. It looks beautiful.
Take your Raymond dollars and get one.
Really?
You should get a 911R.
You know what I have?
What?
I have an electric car. I have a Tesla.
A Tesla?
And
all
I'm
right.
So happy. It's the best thing I ever bought.
Yeah?
I love the car. Have you driven it?
I have.
Sure, you've driven everything.
I do like it. I never want to get back in it, but
Why?
I like it when I'm in it.
Why don't you like it?
It just doesn't create, it doesn't stir desire in me. But I love the car.
You
when
like a more dangerous thing, like a tin can with three wheels.
I like things that are engaging.
Yes.
It relaxes me.
I understand.
Kind of my squirrel brain kind of calms itself, so I am focused on the road and the shifting and the changing of
gears.
Yes,
because so you have that skill that you've mastered in your life, and it feels good. And I can't do any of that.
And also, Phil, this for some of us, there is a very big emotional connection to the automobile.
I get
it does
it.
Something
I
to us.
It.
And for other people, not
you know
so
what my favorite feature in my car is? You say the name of the song you like and it plays
it. That's great. No, see, I have a different theory, Zuckerman.
Really?
That everyone is a car person. Because like Phil, he's saying, I love my Tesla.
I do.
It's a car.
It's true.
That's true.
Erica, my wife's like, I love my Prius.
You find the one that's right for you.
Yes.
It's true. Everybody's a car person. But unlike us, when we see certain cars, we fall to the ground.
He's
it brings
emotional.
Us to our
he's
knees.
Emotional
are
about
you
his
emotional
Tesla?
About
I
you?
Absolutely love it. I never had pleasure. I never had pleasure from a car before. I think it's a wonder. You know, you go to sleep and the next morning it updated over the internet. Your car now does this. It says on the screen.
That's really cool.
I love that.
And what is the cool new thing that it does? Do you have that self-driving mode in it?
No, because I got one of the first ones. Because I drove the little Tic Tac car. I drove. Remember the two-seater?
Yeah, the little two-seater. Right.
So
right.
I drove that. I drove it here.
Oh, you
to
did.
Test it. And I told the Tesla people, I love this car. It's great, but I'm old and I have a family and I'm never going to drive this.
So right,
he goes,
right.
If you put down $5,000, you'll help build the factory to build the sedan and you'll be one of the first people on the list to get the sedan. I said, I'm in because wow. I love the whole electric idea. I love, read about them. Yeah.
So Phil, I'm building a car. And I need. Would you like to help me build my factory?
Will your car have
$1,000 right now? Give me the money.
I will say that Tesla.
I'd build a car like that over there that's made this, out of plant.
Tesla had a good pitch.
Duct
they had a good
tape,
pitch.
Duct tape car. Something. That's a. What the hell is
what
that?
Is
a
that?
Fit?
Made out of saran wrap.
Do you know? Uh oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you back in?
We're back, I think on.
We're back. Are you live?
Yes. Now I'm back. Now I want your money. Some
Zuckerman,
more money.
Zuckerman, you got
you.
So excited about the money. Money. You kicked the mic out. You just kicked it apart. He just kicked the mic out. That's all.
Are we
but
good?
We're good.
Yes,
we're
I did.
Going.
I got excited at the thought of hearing a con pitch that worked.
But it did work.
And it did
and
work.
It's not like I got taken. I liked the car.
You got lucky.
Right.
Right? Because normally that's three-card Monty, right?
Yes.
You say, hey, we're going to give me money today for something you may get tomorrow, and then you never see the people again.
Why did I trust this? I don't
Elon
know.
Elon Musk.
Well, because
you ever
going, so far it's worked.
Yeah.
And you did get
but
the
it
car.
Didn't at the time. He's and, right. I didn't know what I was going to get.
He's still doing that. He's still doing it with the Model 3.
Right.
Everybody signed up. They sold a trillion of them. And
is it on the road
their
yet?
Cars yet?
Nobody
yeah,
has.
Yeah, I'm seeing them on the west side now.
Do people like them?
You can tell. I have not spoken to anybody about it, but it's interesting. You'll see a Tesla on the road, and you go, "Wait, there's no grill in the front. That's weird. What is that weird smaller Tesla?" And it's these Model 3s.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty neat. I like them. What do you think? Yeah. What do you think Bill's best dish is here? What is the one thing? Because I have like three or four of them. What's the
I
one thing?
Too.
If people are coming here to Malibu, well, they come to the Malibu kitchen.
He put my name on a sandwich. It's got to be that.
It's got to be that.
It's the turkey. It's the turkey and cranberry sandwich.
And it's called the
Phil.
The Phil. Bill, you didn't name a sandwich after me.
Make a food show.
You're a sour pickle.
How can I not have?
You're just a sour pickles.
You.
Three since sushi the show, boys, you're since a sour the show, pickle. You've had to roast many more turkeys a day now, right?
We used to do one turkey a day, one and a half.
Wait, what is happening here?
Six.
What?
You do six fresh turkeys a day.
Yes, fantastic.
Just for your sandwich.
That's unbelievable.
It's unreal.
I'm so flattered.
You know what I like
I was
the best?
Talking about.
There's nothing for it.
I want a sandwich named after me, Bill.
All right, figure it out. What do you think it's what do you
Bitter Greens.
Yeah.
I don't really
sour pickles. You and your sour.
I don't really order sandwiches here. You know,
what do you
I
get?
Love your baking. Your baking is really
oh,
the best.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Here. And I do a lot of eggs. Maybe an egg dish, a breakfast dish. Right.
I like the fried chicken. His fried chicken is off the charts.
My father's favorite, too.
Really?
But listen, it's a good title, Spiked Eggs. Pretty good.
Spiked eggs
yes. and ham.
There you go.
Spiked eggs and ham.
I'm your
spiked
guy.
Eggs and ham.
You yes. ate ham.
You
right?
ate ham.
Put it in. It's in the print
All right.
shop.
All right. We're in.
You're
Can
in.
Can you somehow, would it be appropriate to describe my show idea to Phil? About
no,
you
go ahead.
Ham?
But you have a little, you have a little soup
oh,
on
I
your
was,
nose.
You
tell
Take
him.
I was hoping.
No, I like your pitch. Go ahead.
Okay.
I was hoping.
This is good, Phil. Look, you're a TV guy. This is Zuckerman's pitch.
This is Zuckerman's
He's
pitch.
Been working on it. I've been helping him.
I was I wondering if I was going to have
very,
a day in my
big.
Life without someone pitching a show to me.
All right. Here we go. Zuckerman, just.
Okay.
Here we go.
We're going to go up to people that we think look Jewish, and we're going to get them to eat ham, and only then tell them later, you ate ham. Yeah, try this. Try this.
The whole show.
Shake.
You're like the two guys that yeah. that Nick Kroll does with Mulaney. Too much
show,
tuna.
It's a prank show.
It's a prank it's show. You ate ham.
Yeah. And we trick yeah. Jewish people
this
into eating ham.
He doesn't know it's made of ham.
And then
you
I,
ate ham.
Then I come in.
You ate ham. Self-loathing Jews.
Do you think yes. we could sell that?
Sure. Sure.
You think Netflix would
sell
buy
it? No, Breitbart would buy it.
Breitbart. You're right.
You ate ham.
Not maybe the new Bannon Free Breitbart, but you're right. Well, Phil.
Hello.
It's been a lot of fun having you on the show.
I love
nice
it
to
here.
Have someone, one of our Malibu residents here, and put together our little Malibu family.
Isn't it nice?
To talk about Bill and his lovely restaurant, the
yes.
Malibu Kitchen. It's not just a great place to eat. There's tons of great cars here on the weekend because of us. And all of our Instagramming and fun. Phil will be here in his Tesla. If you want to check out Phil's show is called Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix. He's traveling around the world. Saigon, Bangkok, Lisbon. And he's also got a list of the best places
and
to eat
El Monte
in LA.
And Rosemead.
And
you
El
forgot
Monte
that.
And Rosemead. Phil, we can follow you. Where are you most active? Which social media?
I got the Twitter, Phil Rosenthal.
What
I got
do you like the best?
I like the Instagram if you want to see the food, right? Phil.Rosenthal.
There you go.
That's it.
Of course.
What do you need? I'm on the Facebook. Whatever you want. I come to your house and talk to you.
Catch up with Zuckerman's feed at The Real Zuckerman. You'll see the new 911R there and a lot of other great cars and beautiful things that he owns. And I'm at Spike Ferriston, most active on Instagram. And I'll throw up that Vanderhall. And
look for spiked eggs.
And look for spiked
eggs and ham.
At the Malibu Kitchen. We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Yay!
Yeah.
Hug me now.
Real quick before we go, here's some useful car tips you might not be aware of. A coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior. Removing excess weight from your car will improve gas mileage. And you can place your key fob to your chin. That's right, the chin on your face, to increase its range. Weird, right? Well, here's another tip you also might not know about. TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right, TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid, so they know if they're getting a good deal before buying. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy your more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio. Download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.